Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are not in the home studio anymore. We're at beautiful Fadley's, and, you know, it's a limited time offer because, you know, Fadley's is going to be moving into the new market. We're in the original location. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have some scratch-offs to give away down here. Not open yet. I'm going to give Odette Ramos one, and we're going to give some to Billy and the staff around here, but we're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill, talking about Halloween and getting ready. I got my David Bowie. I'm doing Aladdin Sane, I think, for the Halloween. It's all brought to you by Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation, and I have my floppy hat somewhere, but I look a little funny in it. And it's my birthday, and it's like a really special day to be here. I'm having cake on my birthday. Yay. Crab cake at Fadley's. Mm-hmm. She's going to make me up some fried oysters, which I think I'm going to do an oyster thing next year. I have not had you on the set. And it is so nice to have you on the set. You know I love your husband. I love all the reggae beats and all yes. the music. Uh-huh. And John was the house DJ for the Baltimore Blast back when I was the color commentator with Ted Patterson Gary Stein on your radio dial. Uh-huh. And you married into John, and then you ran for office,
yeah.
and then you came on the show, and then we had a plague. And then I met you at a crab feast. So Odette Ramos is here. She is she's one of our councilwomen. Felicia Porter is going to be here a little later on as well. And we're going to be talking about all sorts of things in the city. I pulled into the city. I parked in the city today. It's my birthday, and I'm happy to see you. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Happy birthday.
You know?
I'm so excited you had me on your birthday so we could celebrate. And you're in the classic... You know, Fadley's here in Lexington Market. It's great.
How do you come to all this service? I mean, like, how did you get involved in this crazy thing of running for office that I considered a few years ago that really began all this? It's really a passion for the city, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, I've been in Baltimore for 30 years, and from day one, I've been very involved in various community work, affordable housing, dealing with vacant properties. You know, I was the founder of the VLP, one of the founders of the Village Learning Place and Baltimore Neighborhood Indicators and so many different things. And so when Councilwoman Clark, my predecessor, decided not to run after decades and decades of service, you know, I thought maybe can I make more of a difference, you know, in the city council because I love this city. As a matter of fact, I came here to go to Goucher and then, you know, decided
to stay from
Albuquerque, New Mexico. My background is Puerto Rican.
Whoa, hold on here. You're from Albuquerque?
Yes.
So hold on. There's a very, my bucket list thing for my birthday is to go to Albuquerque and do the hot air balloon.
Yes.
It's literally going on.
It was
today.
Last week. I think it was last. Oh, it's going on.
Yeah.
No, so it's
I
amazing.
Could never go because I was always covering football, right? So I'm always at a football. I'm flying to Atlanta, and I'm always like, if we ever get a bye week on my birthday, you know, week six or something, I'm going to go out. I really want to do that.
But look, now you can take your computer and go anywhere and do it, right?
There's no question. Since the Ravens threw me out, sure, I can do whatever I want now.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, so the Balloon Fiesta in Albuquerque is really amazing.
I'm thinking of the Prince song, you know. Yeah. I can eat whatever I want. I can go wherever.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I can do that.
So, but it's scary. So I think some people might be confused. I am Puerto Rican. My parents are from Puerto Rico, and then my dad was in the Air Force, and that's how we ended up in Albuquerque. And then I came to Baltimore to go to Goucher and went to Rutgers for graduate school and then came back.
Why Baltimore? What happened there?
So what's
so interesting... Is this the late 80s, early 90s, right? So
correct.
Was Camden Yards built yet or no?
92. No.
Oh, so before 92, okay.
Yes, so...
Well, you would say that's the renaissance of the city.
Yeah.
You would agree that, like, when that happened... Well, I mean, Harbor... All the 80s and 90s were a renaissance, really, for the city.
Well, and, you know, I just... got the message loud and clear, you know, that Baltimore is a great place, but also that I think I could, you know, make a difference here and that they needed me, you know? And so I'm been grateful for all the experiences that I've had since then. Want to make sure that we continue to move the city forward. So
all right, well,
it's great.
Let's get to the tough questions. You know, things going on in the city, what concerned you the most? Having now sat in the seat a while, you've had a couple of battles down at City Hall, as I read about you. I do want to talk about the feistiness of you going against the flow. I've been an against the flow guy. You know, that the way things have been done before, not necessarily. And, you know, I've had Bill Henry here. I've had Brandon Scott in this space. I've had Jack Young. In this space, I've tried to have as many leaders as I can.
That's great.
And everybody comes at it a little bit differently.
Sure.
But you're a little bit of an outsider in that you're new at this, right? I mean, like, you've been at it a long time, but, like, where you can go and make a difference and have a vote.
Well, there's two things, right? One is that I came in with a lot of experience, right, in the housing space. I'd done a lot of work on the policy side statewide, so I already knew what I needed to do when I came in. I already had it all planned out, and we're making it happen. I ran for a reason,
right.
That's right. But the second thing is I'm the first Hispanic elected official ever in Baltimore City, So,
and you're sitting with the first Hispanic media member. I think the only one. I don't know of another one. I don't know that I've ever met another one. If I've forgotten you and you're Hispanic, who am I thinking of?
The other one on WEAA is.
Well, I'm still the first. I've been doing this 31 years.
I know you're still the first, but there's a
couple
others.
But I'm not only good. We need more.
But this is what I'm saying: is that we need more. It's pretty unfortunate that we've only had me, and that we need to have more. And our population is growing. So, frankly, I don't think. People knew what to do with me. So I was just going to keep going and do my thing. I've always been passionate about the city. I've always been passionate about the work that we're doing. And so I'm going to, keep going.
But how does Councilwoman change that from what the work you were doing to say that you are now empowered as much as that's why you run is to make change.
Right.
So making those changes, it's not easy to steer the ship, right?
No,
it's
and
not.
It's a lot slower than I think we would all like, frankly.
But you knew that going in.
Yeah. So, I did have, this struggle with, are we going to make better change, being on the inside or, continuing to be on the outside pushing in? And we need both. Anybody who's doing all of that work is very important. But I had accomplished a lot, right? We led the Affordable Housing Trust Fund, worked hard at the state level for policy changes for affordable housing and vacant properties. But we needed to do more in the city. So I feel very strongly that I'm doing the work that I'm supposed to be doing. I feel very strongly that I'm, because of the experience that I've had, and I'm grateful for so many mentors and so many people that have been, working with me, that we're actually making progress on things that I don't think we would make progress on if I wasn't here. I'm in the rooms. Hamilton is playing down the street, right? I'm in the rooms where it happens.
Okay.
And I'm really, really excited to be there.
But, okay, that's not always easy, though, right?
I have to earn my way. You don't just get there. You earn it. And so it's been amazing. Like, for instance, okay, one of the new policy changes that we have is to address vacant and abandoned properties by when the liens exceed the value of the property, we're going to foreclose on those properties. It's called INREM, INREM. It's a Latin word. And but we also needed, during the foreclosure process, to make sure that we have a dedicated docket in the court system so that these cases go through. The city is amassing properties, and then we're disposing of them quickly and efficiently with community input to make sure that, we're getting rid of these vacant
properties.
Not
always easy. Asbestos, lead paint.
Sure,
right?
All of that. But, I was invited into the room to talk with the judges about how to do this in the court system. I would not have been invited in that room if I wasn't where I am now.
Right.
And this is really, really critical. So I'm just super excited that we're making progress. It is way slower than we would like. We need the next step for vacant properties. We need $3 billion. Anybody with $3 billion, come on over, because we really need to have,
Even if Austin Powers only had $1 billion, right? Like, how do you get to $3?
Well, I think it's going to take a lot of private capital as well as public leverage. We're going to need to borrow more as a city. There's a lot of folks talking about that. And then the idea of, getting the properties out to homeowners as well as small developers and others in a way that we're investing in the areas that need it most, but not displacing people that are already there. So it's a bit of a challenge, but other cities are doing it. I know we can do this. So it's going to take a while, but we're really pushing hard to make this work.
What made you so passionate about housing for people? I mean, not that it's shelter. It's, it's right up there with food and water, right? I mean, period. And in this city, heat, obviously digital is something for, you know, kids, but there's so many issues, but you're on housing always.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. I don't know how I ended up being so passionate about it, but I do know that the, you know, without proper housing, right? We have a lot of health issues, mold, lead, et cetera. We also, if you're not stably housed, then how can you do much else?
Can't go to school, can't get a job.
It's very difficult. But then also we have an issue of, you know, if you live next to a vacant property, the research also shows that if you're a young person walking to school next to vacant properties, already your cortisol, this is science, this isn't, you know, something I made up. Cortisol is in the brain, you need it. But if there's too much cortisol in the brain because your stress is so high, your cortisol grows in your brain, it's going to block learning. Your stress level is too high, and the science shows it. So vacant properties affects us education-wise. If you look at where the violent crime is happening, where it's happening?
Of course.
In the areas with the most vacant properties. So this is a crisis that started way back when we were doing redlining, right? And we still have not been investing in the areas that need it most, and that's what we have to change. So it's something that I'm very passionate about. I think that dealing with our vacant properties and making sure people have proper housing is going to help us with all of the other things that we are dealing with. It's very difficult to keep a job if you don't have a proper place to live. It's very difficult to keep a job if you've got, you know, rent that's really high. You know, we've got to, the rent is going up. The rent is going up. So it's a multi-pronged approach that we have to take. And, you know, the great thing about our council, I have to say, is that each of us have a passion for something. And we support each other in that way. You know, you're going to talk with Councilwoman Porter. You know, her background is in public health. So she approaches things from a public health perspective. You know, I've been doing housing policy for a long time, so I'm approaching it that way. We have, you know, Mark Conway, who used to work at, you know, CityStat under the police, with the police, and so he's leading the, you know, public safety committee. He's also got an environmental background, working on zero waste. So it's really exciting to work with so many council members who have their own passions and come with the experience because they've been doing this for a while, and then we can back each other up. It's really exciting and fun. I'm having a great time.
Ramos, right? Not Ramos.
Ramos, correct.
Of course.
Yes.
Odette Ramos is here. She is one of our council. Yeah, explain for the people in the county, because we're voting right now on things and whatnot. Explain councilmanic districts in the city, where your area is, and of course, your predecessor, Mary Pat Clark, forever and ever. But and obviously not an election year here, but for everybody else voting out there, explain how the city works.
From a
functional standpoint.
Sure. So we have 14 single-member districts. My district, the boundaries are basically Falls Road in Hamden. I'm very proud to represent all
she
of my districts.
She says it the right way. Hamden! Almost like she's not from Albuquerque.
So from Hamden all the way to Clifton Park. So I have amazing neighborhoods.
Was Harford Road yours? Is that yours or no?
Harford,
that's one over. Harford Road Bridge.
Road Bridge. Half of it is mine, yes. So.
Only half of it. You got your half open last week, I think, right?
Finally. Yes, Councilman Dorsey actually has been leading the charge there, but yes, it's finally open.
Well, I knew he's over there because my buddy Rasig lives right, you know, Laurelville, just south of the park, or actually east of the park, and, you know, what a seller. I said to my wife, it's a big deal for me, even though I don't use it much, but I do use it because I live north now. And when I go out of the city, a lot of times I would take Harford Road and then it just stopped. Right. And then I was like stopping at Rasig's house for a drink or whatnot because I got detoured down by the park.
Right.
But that's a big project.
It was a very big project. It was at least 20 years in the making because I remember when I worked at Greater Homewood going with to the community meetings with Mary Pat. This was in the, you know, late 90s. So it was a very long-term project.
The can got kicked a long time is what you're telling
me. Yeah, well, money, right? So, it's finally open, so that's good.
Oh, I'm going to go walk across it, drive across it.
You can, because there's actually pedestrian bike lanes now on there, and Lake Montebello is closed to vehicles. Lake Montebello is in my district, so you can't go around the lake.
I've always wanted to jog around the lake and never have.
Do it.
My whole life. Yeah.
Now, it's really amazing, especially now that you don't have to dodge, you know, cars and play Frogger with the cars. So you're, it's amazing. So we've created a really amazing neighborhood amenity and
people,
city amenity.
People urinate on Baltimore. You get in on it. You walk around. Baltimore's beautiful.
It's
Baltimore's
amazing.
Baltimore's got many, many beautiful things.
I mean,
really
I'd love for people to, you know, you could park on Hill and Road and you walk over to the lake and go around the lake, and it's really, really amazing.
Oh, this is my childhood, because when we, well, Memorial Stadium was there, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you talk about
that's
the,
right.
So we would turn the corner. I always took the bus, number 22 bus from Highland Town, and we would come up Urban, and we would go, sometimes the bus would go straight, sometimes it would go through the park, through the golf course, and you would get to the, and you go down the hill, and there's the lake on the right, and there's the stadium lights.
Yes.
My wife would tell you, my wife and I got married in 2003. So the stadium went away for baseball in 91, went away for football in 97. I couldn't drive down 33rd Street for a good 10 years after my marriage. So it took me about 10 years ago. Because I would just, it made me sad. No offense to the YMCA, and I've told John Hoey that, but I couldn't drive through your district. I couldn't. I purposely avoided, and Brandon Scott would say I was just avoiding Mervo. But I just couldn't go. I couldn't go down there because it tore at me a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
it's a
other people.
Space.
I think other people felt the same way. Absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, there's a lot of baseball history in that area, because we also have, in addition to the old stadium, and there's amazing work being done now in that development with the Y and Stadium Place and others. But then a little bit further south of there at Peabody Heights Brewery, right? That's across the street from my district, but I claim it, is...
You drink beer and listen to bands there with
there
your husband.
You go.
Eat good food.
And
right.
So...
Whose district's that?
So it's 12.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
all right.
So when we...
That's why I ask, because I don't really...
Yeah.
I don't know every little boundary.
Sure.
Nobody does.
Councilman Strokes and I work very well together. So... So Peabody Heights, you know, the outside wall is the original wall from one of the baseball stadium, early baseball stadiums that the Orioles played in.
You know who told me this?
So who did? John.
Your husband. So
yeah.
So John, I went up to Peabody about a year and a half ago. He had a great band. Strikers Posse, I believe, was there.
Yes,
that day.
Yes.
They were
reggae
killing
band.
It, man. Those
yes.
girls are killing it.
Yes.
So doing reggae and doing her thing. So John hits me to come and eat some food and drink some beer and like... And he's like, Peabody. I'm like, where is it? Near Hopkins. Great. We parked. No problem. Came over. You were all councilwoman running for things, signs, the whole deal. And I think I elbow bumped you, but I didn't really talk to you. I don't even think I saw you as I remember it. But we had a beer, and John's like, hey, man, you know this is where Oriole Park was. And I'm like, the one Vince Bagley was out in 4th of July that burned out? Yeah,
yes,
that one.
That
and then
one.
I went and I saw the wall.
Yes.
And I felt like such a dumbass. I mean, I've been on the air like 28 years. My name's Aparicio. I've been here my whole life. I'm a baseball guy. I think I had Vince on the air one. This is before Google Maps, right? I'd said to Vince, hey, Vince, where... You always tell the story. I was a kid, man, 1940. Yeah, you know, the stadium, it caught fire. Right. I was there that day. And it's a pretty good Vince. That's not a bad Vince. Mike McKelvin over 1623 will appreciate that. Bring a tear to his eye. So he would always tell the story, but I never really knew where it was.
Uh-huh.
And I never asked where it was.
Right.
I learned about the Great Baltimore Fire by reading plaques living in the city. I mean, how you get your history is how you get your history.
Right, right.
Mine just came over beer and reggae music.
There
with
you go.
So,
fine.
So for you with projects, and by the way, Odette Ramos here, when I ask you about councilmanic districts and working together and common to the city and the reason Baltimore Positive, crime and public safety sort of sits at the forefront of all of it. For you and your district coming down to the city, coming to City Hall, seeing people, I'm sure you've had bad things happen in your district as well. You all take this very, very personally. You mentioned public safety. First thing for everybody is, when I'm driving to city today, my wife's like, be safe. And that's something you say to people when they come in the city. And I lived here my whole life.
I know. I've actually noticed that more often that people, well, first of all, everybody's very friendly here. You know, as I was walking up here, good morning, how you doing, sir? Hey, you know, so, but it's, you know, more often I'm hearing people say, be safe.
There's a tension about it.
But
or something.
I think, but it started during COVID. People kept saying, be safe together because we
right.
were in it together. That's when I started hearing it. It really, you know, safety is a sort of big umbrella. I think people always think about police and, you know, crime and all of that. But when we're talking about public safety, it's kind of everything, right? So I started to hear it during COVID when people will say, you know, be safe. So Yes, it's a big deal. But the police can't do it by themselves. Okay. That's why I take the approach of, you know, addressing the housing space and addressing vacant properties. They can't do it themselves. And also, you know, people don't wake up, aren't born criminals. Okay. People aren't born criminals. Something has happened, whether it's a trauma, whether they've gotten into a gang, whether there's that has what poverty, you know, that has actually caused this issue. So why aren't we making more investments and working on that issue and not just saying police, police, police? The other question, the other issue that's huge for me is that we have way too many illegal guns on the street. There's no reason why 15-year-olds should have guns. None.
Okay? Well, I was in Canada a couple weeks ago, and in other societies, this doesn't make sense to anybody anywhere in the world.
So here's the thing that
it only makes sense in Texas. Like it literally.
Right.
I'm literally.
Well, that's the thing. It's like this whole gun culture, not just here but all over the U.S., is just astounding. It's astounding. So what's happening in Baltimore is that we've got this. There is an illegal, you know, gun trade, it's so easy to get a gun, especially now you can buy them off the internet, which, you know, the city is suing all the companies that, you know, sell them.
I talked to Mayor Scott about the ghost guns. Yeah.
And actually, it's my belief that after the gun trade task force was exposed, the city did nothing. And so now we're just now getting back to trying to make sure that guns aren't coming in, but we really have to work hard to get guns off the street. And the other thing is that we're not doing a good job of really, you know, with our young people that have guns. I have Mervo in my district, you know, they're solving problems with the guns. That young man Jeremiah went out to deal with his neighbor, I guess. And the neighbor had a gun, and it was the same age as he was, come from another school, and they were solving a beef. He was the young man that shot him was solving a beef with a gun. Why are we doing that? We're not addressing some of the needs that our young people have, and so they're taking things into their own hands and using guns to be able to solve the problem.
Never solves the problem.
And so it's not when people talk about, you know, murder and crime in Baltimore City, it's not like people are just gunning people down like you see in mobs and on the Old West and all that. No, it's interpersonal.
This used to be a fight at a bowling alley that turns into a gunshot now.
It used to be a fist fight. You know, you can resolve it with a fist fight or even just a conversation. So the good thing that's happening, it's slow. It's frustrating, but it's slow, is that, you know, the gun violence reduction strategy in Western District is working. I mean, the crime, violent crime is down by almost 40%. And that's
say that again, because we don't get to say that.
You're
a politician. You get to crow about that when the numbers support that,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And so violent crime in the Western District is down by almost 40% because for the last year, they've been really concentrating with the mayor's office of neighborhood safety engagement and lots of other partners when they're to address the what's called group violence. So it's not quite gangs. It's people in groups that are working on and just hanging out and then they get in a fight or whatever. And literally trying to pull people out of those scenarios, get them resources and doing other things. Otherwise, there's consequences. And I'm excited that, you know, we're working on lobbying hard to make sure that it comes to Eastern District, which I now have more of. And it's slow. It's slow. So we have to do all of those things. It's not about locking people up. We just can't. That doesn't work. We can't keep doing that. And so we have to take a different approach. And unfortunately, it's a slower
thing. Well, some people would say if they're breaking the law, they need to be locked up. Like, you know, some people would say that, right?
Well, yes. Okay.
We need to figure out a way that they don't break the law.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. So, and also because of the consent decree, we're not clearing corners anymore because it was unconstitutional to just clear corners without any evidence that they were doing anything.
Loitering.
Sure, you can loiter, right? But on a public, like if you were loitering out here and the Fadley's owners go out and say, hey, move along, they can do that, right? And I'll call the police and tell them to move along. But if you're in a public area and just gathering around on a corner, you know, they could just be gathering.
I understand.
So it's a tough balance. So we've had to do, with the consent decree, completely change the mindset so that we're doing constitutional policing. It's very, very important. So we just have to take these multi-pronged approaches. It's really, really difficult to just three strikes, you're out. We're going to get you even if you're on the corners. Like, it's a tough situation.
Well, we lived through that 25 years ago. Yeah. Odette Ramos is here. We're Fadley's. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving away some scratch-offs here. Also, our friends at Goodwill, and I got my Goodwill truck. I donated a couple. We took a whole. We didn't bring the truck, but we had enough to fill the truck.
Right.
And it's Halloween season. Make sure you take care of them. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION, a way to get them. You buy two, you get two free. All right, you mentioned public safety. I'm all over the place. It's my birthday. I smell the crab cakes.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I see the crab cakes.
It's your birthday.
I see the crackers.
There they are.
I see the beer tap back here. So God bless Fadley's. I'm a year older and hopefully a year wiser. So two little, not funny, but just public safety issues that I encounter coming into the city today. So I'm coming down 83, zipping along, supposed to be on the phone with my accountant. He's got a bad back. Get better, Scott. So I didn't have my meeting. It's my birthday. My phone's blowing up. I've screwed over my contractor already by not replying to him. So you get down a hill and you're coming into the city, and then there's the BAL tower, and you're coming into Odette's district on the left here as you're coming into Hamden. And literally when you turn the corner, there's traffic because everybody three lanes has hit the brake because they know that the speed camera's here. And I'm thinking to myself, we're such obedient. I mean, like, my wife's life was saved by this guy in Germany, and they drive really fast over there, but everybody follows the rules in Germany. Like, you cross in a crosswalk or else. You wait for the green light. It's very structured. I said it's the most structured thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. That everybody in the city that comes in at 8, it was 8:20 when I was going through there.
Right.
And I'm thinking, these are regulars. Everybody, fast as you want. You get to, and then you slow down. And then it doesn't matter if you slow down. There will be three cars that just have the middle. No, no, no. I'm not getting the ticket. I'm going to slow down. And it slows everybody else down. And I thought, I got to talk to you about that.
Yes, I actually think that's great because, so here's what was happening prior to the cameras, right?
Oh, I know what was happening.
There
I drove
be,
on that road.
Yes, there
it's
would
a drag
be
race.
A, it was not only a drag race, but there would be a crash literally every 5 minutes, right? And what would happen? It would take our police resources from our neighborhoods to go address that crash.
I saw ambulances in front of Union Brewing, south of there a little bit.
Yes.
Well, the pin turns up where the Penn Station is and stuff.
Well,
I see
the
people taking those. I say to my wife, you see
the
walls?
Sign, yeah.
You see every one of those black skid marks on the wall?
There's
those
an
are
accident.
Not bike tires.
Yeah, right.
That's somebody thinking their tires are better than them, or they watch Smokey and the Bandit, or they drive NASCAR on the weekend. And so I'm all for people slowing the F down. You know what
absolutely.
I mean? Like, big time
yeah.
for me.
Yeah. Where do you got to go so fast, you know? I mean,
where are you going? You're going to a red light.
And then when you get down to the bottom of, 83, you still got red lights. Like, everybody's got the same red lights. So I don't know, but I'm glad that
good
we have the
you.
Camera there. I think it's great. I'm a huge fan of the speed cameras. Other people don't like them. But it slows people down. And
I liked it this morning. I was like, okay,
but
people are going to live
today.
But
also the key is, yes, people are going to live. Nobody's going to die.
Public safety issue.
No, it is a public safety issue.
It's not a punishment.
No.
We're going to fine you. It's just slow down.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, it took our resources from our neighborhoods, our police resources from our neighborhoods to go deal with a crash on the highway.
So my wife is a maniac on the road. Can I make fun of her on my birthday?
Sure.
If I had a penny in our relationship for every time I said slow, she does most of the driving. Just slow down. Just slow down. Just slow down. I'm always the one that got the speeding tickets.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one that got the 42 and the 25 by, just on the phone, whatever,
right.
Just driving. And the little picture comes and she throws the envelope at me again and says, "You got another one." I don't know how it happens because I am always the guy slowing down. Literally. I'm old now. If you haven't noticed, right?
No, I'm the slow one in the far right slow lane. That's me.
All right, so here's my other public safety issue. And I will, if I had run for mayor, if I had won, if Sheila had won, I was going to run. Bob, would if I would have won, I would have put an end to those scooters. I hate the scooters.
Oh,
I hate everything about the scooters.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with Mayor Jake Day in Salisbury about scooters.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with Emily Keller out in Hagerstown about scooters and yins and all that, what she talks about.
Yes.
By the way, she good picture. Good selfies with Joe Biden, Emily. I like that.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
That was pretty good. That's pretty good. So today, I came down Maryland Avenue, down where Park Avenue is to the bottom. I'm at the bottom of Fayette, about to make a right where Shula's used to be, where the Baltimore Arena will soon be again. And I'm making my right there. And this girl is in, is she looked like she may have saved my wife's life. She looked like a nurse. Blue, you know, she's going toward a hospital. She's beautiful. She's 28. It's 58 degrees. No helmet. Mask hanging from her, doing whatever the maximum is. If those things do 18 miles an hour, she's doing 19. If they do 12, she's flying along. And I pump my brake, and I'm thinking, sister, you got a death wish. Like, just being on that, going at that speed, listening to whatever you got on your iPod, just driving along. And I'm thinking to myself, get a car, get a bike, get something else. But, like, I don't like those things. So that's
Well, there's two things. One is I'm a runner, and I never run with music or anything because I need to be aware of my surroundings. And so I would advise that she not do music.
Whatever was going on, if I would have hit her, she never would have known.
She wouldn't have known. And so you always have to be aware of your surroundings on those things. You know, just don't deal with the, you know, iPods. You just have to be aware. The other thing is that, you know, we actually have a third of our population, a third, do not own a car. Okay, that's pretty significant. So we've seen an increase, obviously, in these scooters so that people can get around quicker, particularly since our public transportation system sucks.
Well,
right?
Stephanie tried to build lanes for all this. For, you know, that's her legacy.
I understand, except that we're still dealing with the MTA, which is a state entity and not a city entity. So it's very difficult to, you know, when the governor says, no, we're not going to do the red line, and then he gives us all these, you know,
I lost
bus
a dear
lanes.
Friend in Ocean City, Scunny, from Nacho Mama's,
it's
on
horrible.
A bike,
oh,
got
yes.
killed by a bomb.
Absolutely.
Scunny and I were close. And
it was terrible. So I think, I mean, so I agree with you that I don't think they're very safe. We would have to look into how we can regulate them where, you know, you have to wear a helmet on a bicycle. So we have not had that legislation in to deal with that at the scooter level. The state considers scooters and bikes the same, which I don't. So we,
nor
it
do
is,
I.
It is something that we're going to have to
let me call Wes.
Address.
Hold on. It's his birthday, too.
Is it? Yes, it is. It's Wes's birthday, too. That's
and
right.
And he and I don't
yes.
know. He didn't know that it was my birthday.
Oh.
So I sent him a text, and I'm like, hey, dude, why don't we get together at midnight? We could celebrate our mutual birthdays and Jim Palmer's birthday.
And Jim Palmer.
Because Jim
right,
Palmer's
right.
tomorrow.
Right, right.
My birthday was always the day before Jim Palmer. Same day as Kiko Garcia, too, so by the way. So
right, that's right. It is Wes's birthday.
So scooters.
So.
Yeah.
By the way, Wes is my constituent.
Oh, well, the next governor of the state of Maryland, I might add. Is there anything you want to say on that level before Felicia Porter shows up here and boots you out? And yeah, I got 10 more minutes here with you.
Uh-huh.
But while we're in this election season for people that aren't in the city, that may know who you, may have listened to Blast Games with your husband years ago, DJing with me, but just this process and what I almost missed a key meeting on Thursday because I was so caught up in the January 6th committee,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And things that are going on in our country,
horrible.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just in a general sense, Wes is running against a guy that I spent Wednesday night watching that, the MPT, and watching my friend Pam Wood be a part of that panel as well. I we're just in different places here. Like, when I hear that guy, I'm like,
it's really weird. I mean, it's,
there's no way you can win, and that's a good thing. But then last Saturday night, I was up in Havana Grace. I'm starting to sound like a real political activist here.
Right.
But I donated, and I'm proud of this, $45 to Heather Mazier's campaign.
Very good. Thank you for doing that.
To go
yes.
to Melissa Etheridge.
Uh-huh.
And
right.
I, you know, come
good.
To my window,
right.
the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a beautiful night.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
and by the way, the Star Theater in Havana Grace, I know you love music as well. If they can ever turn that into something where a lot of bands come, it's an acoustically beautiful room. It's like
yeah.
a high school auditorium. But it's just it was the best sound of any. And I.
Sure.
Your hubby loves some music.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
He and
right.
I are music guys.
Right.
If you get a chance. But I see what she's up against with Andy Harris, and every smart person says, she can't win, pal. She can't win. I'm like, no, that's the BS they would have been telling me 3 years ago for 2 years. I would have tried. I don't want to hear that. That's like saying the Ravens can't lose. And
she's
like,
got a great opportunity.
I agree with you.
She's got a great opportunity.
She's running against a treasonous seditionist.
So there's two things, though. There's some Republicans that are just disgusted with what's happening with the party. Totally disgusted.
Barry Glassman will be here at 11 o'clock today.
Okay,
so
you can talk to him about that.
And by the way, Brooke Learman's next week. We're doing the show at Gunpowder Lodge up in White Marsh area.
Right. We need to have Brooke.
Brooke's
going to
be there,
absolutely.
Too. Yep.
And so, you know, so, but then there's, you know, some other Republicans that just have, you know, stayed with the party no matter what. The loyalists are
just really
crazy. I
can't sit here and have a conversation with somebody that thinks the election was stolen.
No, it's
like,
crazy.
It's insane.
It's totally crazy. But so I think Heather has a really good shot, and we need to, because, you know, the other thing is that I think obviously Wes has a great shot, and we've just got it in Maryland. Turn that around. Now, I'm...
Well, you talk about things in housing in the city, right? West in Annapolis, we're talking about recidivism, talking about problems, people going to jail and coming back out. I mean, so much was made in the last couple of weeks about the Adnan case. But the guys with the guns in West Baltimore that just released probation, I've talked to all of these leaders. This is a Larry Hogan issue that Larry Hogan didn't really want to talk too much about when I wanted to talk to him about it, except to pass the buck. I think Wes is going to tackle this one. I think it's the most important issue of many, many issues of the murders in the city, and the perception of the city would be we need to do that better at a state level.
Well, there's no question that the repeat offenders, so when someone has done their time, has come out, and we want to make sure that they're successful, so there's the reentry piece, but then there's also just, you know, somebody was arrested, they went to booking, da-da-da, and then they come right back out, that the frustration that the police have, and that there's, you know, the work that they just did is then...
Somebody committed a crime on Friday, they let them out on Monday, and they're back in on Tuesday.
Correct. And so, and also the frustration for residents. I mean, residents, I have residents in one of my neighborhoods that will not call police because they know that whatever happens, the guy's going to come back out and come after them. So they call me, okay? And so that I can take, you know, whatever it is. And so that piece of that revolving door is absolutely a state issue.
Well, trust in the police is a big issue.
It's a really
big
issue.
And safety for when you see crime to say something. See something, say
absolutely.
Something.
Absolutely.
It's
not
as easy
as that. But it has to do with this revolving door thing because they, you know, people think that the guy's just going to come right back out. So, you know, what's the point? So that absolutely is a state issue that I think Wes is going to take on. He also understands this issue of, you know, you've got to have resources to do what needs to be done. He's going to help me with my $3 billion, road to $3 billion for addressing vacant properties, because that's part of it. That's absolutely part of it.
And he understands that because he lives in your district.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So,
what do you want to say about Wes?
Well, let me just say something about just sort of my district real quick.
Sure.
Okay? So there must be something about us in the 14th district, because in the 14th district, we have, even though Barbara Mikulski came from, you know, this area, she now lives in the 14th district. She's the first woman elected to the Senate in her own right. Maggie McIntosh in my district.
Had a crab cake here with me.
She is first woman majority leader in the General Assembly and first out lesbian in the General Assembly. Mary Washington, first out senator and also African-American in the General Assembly. Also, we have Mary Pat Clark, was the first woman city council president. Me, first Hispanic elected official in Baltimore City, and Wes Moore, first black governor of Maryland.
Two.
We have so many firsts, so many women, so many firsts. There's got to be something about us, you know,
it's
in
Hamden.
That district.
It's Hamden.
I don't know that it's Hamden, but it's something. And I'm just so proud to represent that district because we have so many great people that have come from. Whether they're in politics or not, are doing great, great, great work for their communities. So I'm very proud to represent that area. You know, I'm really excited about the possibility of Wes and Brooke up there in Annapolis for us, working hard for Baltimore, but also understanding that a lot of the things, and I've worked statewide, a lot of things in Baltimore that we're dealing with are also things that are happening at the state level with You know, Cambridge is very similar to us, and that's in the Eastern Shore. So there's a lot of, you know, similarities, and they'll be able to work for hard for us. So I'm very excited about it.
All right. Well, it's been a great visit. You're crab cake free. You know, I'm going to take you over to Gertrude's. We're going to figure out that.
Yes. Gertrude's has, that's, you know, a vegan crab cake. And there's another place, Harmony Bakery in, Hamden that has one. And, so we've got, you know, some great choices out there. So,
well, it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I've got some scratch-offs. One for you, even
Thank
though you're
you.
Elected official, you're allowed to have our scratch-off
one.
Lottery ticket.
I can have
well,
one.
It's only one per person is all
right.
it is, right? I mean, come on, we don't want to get into that.
Right.
We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour next week at the Gunpowder Lodge. I'm looking forward to being with Danny Santoro, my pal JR as well, eating a delicious crab cake out in the Gunpowder, in the Gunpowder Lodge. All will be brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation. We've gone extra time here. You can tell John we hit it off and hung out, all right?
Awesome.
Do you want to hold your little Grateful Dead? What's that little thing here?
So this is a Grateful Dead, you know, steal your face sticker, but it's Baltimore themed. So my husband has, you'll see them all over the city because he just sticks them everywhere. But he developed these, you know, as a way to, with, and a t-shirt as a way to raise money for the music series in Charles Village.
Every time he gives away a Here shirt,
yeah.
I always try to win one. You know,
right? Yeah, absolutely.
That's the Frank Robinson.
Right.
You know,
he
here,
did the Here
the
shirts. He did the Cicada shirts. So it's been really great. So, but we like these because we just want to promote Baltimore in a great way. So people love them.
I got to talk to John about that because I think the Here sign was brought on by Frank Robinson. I think.
Yes.
And then I think John Steadman was the one who wrote about where the ball landed that made the flag happen.
Did you know the flag is there? So when you go into Stadium Place, and you're coming from 33rd, going towards the baseball field before you get to the Y, you'll go around the loop. The Here flag is there. There's a Here flag on the original place where the Here flag was.
I don't drive down 33rd Street anymore.
You got to go. And because the diamond for the baseball field is actually where the diamond was for Memorial Stadium.
I was there the day they opened it over there with Cal and Brooks.
Yes.
And that was, man, it was 10, 12 years ago.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I don't know that I visited that. Okay, I'll go back. You know each other, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, come in. I got a headset here. We could do a handoff if you want, man. You know, I don't know Felicia Porter. How are you? Come on in here. Grab that. I'll pot you up. No problem.
Hi,
we can say hello. We said hello. We said goodbye. You come out of a meeting. She's going into a meeting. Pull that thing. Hi, how
Hello.
Are you?
How are you all?
Now, do you eat crab cakes?
What?
She does not eat, so she gets two.
Right.
Yes, I get hers.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. You get the bonus plan.
Happiest of birthday to you.
I know.
Well, thank you.
Same
to you. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming down.
Yes,
I've been trying
of
to
course.
Get. We've never met. We've met on the internet, it's a Zoom thing.
Yes.
I only met you on Zoom. Before today, I've never really had a more than
right,
a 2-minute conversation.
Right, but he's friends with my husband, John.
Okay,
so they've been friends for a long time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We feel like family.
You feel like family. Well, we're family, too.
Yeah, we're all from Baltimore.
All
family.
Nice. All right. Well, we have Democrats now. We'll have Republicans later. We're going to have crab cakes all day long.
That's too
beer,
bad. You should just pay attention
oysters.
To the Democrats.
We're going to do all that.
Got to do both.
I'm a journalist, despite what Chad Steele thinks.
I got you.
Trust me.
Fine.
All right. Anything you want to say on the handoff? Because you got to go. But
yeah. Oh, I'm so proud to be serving with Felicia Porter. Yes. We're both, you know, first term, but have, I think, really made a difference both in our districts and in the city.
Yes.
We've worked together before on Baltimore Women United.
Yes.
We're co-founders.
What is Baltimore Women United?
Oh, let's talk about that real quick. You want to do that?
See, I'm almost like a transition. Journalist.
Yeah.
I see an opening there and I pull it out.
Yeah, so after 45 got elected, because we're not going to say his name, there was a group.
I just prefer to think of him as a criminal.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I mean, saw the evidence.
Yes, it's there.
That's a peanut, so it's good.
Yeah, so it's good. But Brooke Learman sent out an email to any woman she had on her email list and said, hey, let's get together and figure this out. There were how many women? Like 200
about,
women.
Like 200 women, yeah.
At that meeting.
Across Baltimore City.
Yeah, up at the Isle of View, up in my district at, yes. the, at our house. And just kind of commiserating on what we can do. There were a lot of women who were like, I'd never been involved before.
Yeah.
So I got to get involved. This is crazy. Yeah. So we basically got a steering committee together. Yeah. She and I are on the steering committee and worked initially to get more women registered to vote,
yep.
more women trained to register other women to
yes.
vote, and then continue to make people aware of what's going on in the General Assembly and the mm-hmm. City Council and all of that. Then we formed a PAC to get more women elected to
yes.
the City Council
yep.
and also to the General Assembly. And we also organized all the women's marches here
yeah.
In the city as well.
I got pink hats. Don't worry about it.
And another good thing, you know, we developed a comprehensive legislative agenda.
That's right.
Specifically.
That's right.
Gearing towards women's issues. And that's really important because, you know, women being the number one populace across the nation with regards to voter engagement, we really don't have a legislative agenda that is specifically focused towards women.
That's right.
The only presidential candidate at that time that was talking about it was Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And so Odette and I, Councilwoman Ramos,
that's all right.
we wanted to
I
do...
I called her Odette.
I always tried to give deference, but we wanted to create that microcosm here in Baltimore City, Baltimore being one of the major economic voting populist engines of Maryland. We needed that agenda here.
Yeah.
We needed that agenda here. And
yeah.
with our voting demographics, that was something that was top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
Something that was very top of the list.
Well, I'll
yeah.
tell you what. I'm going to get you out of here. But we've been talking housing,
yes.
politics,
yes.
music. Did we
yeah.
leave anything out? I think we did a crime. We did crime. We did public safety.
Yeah.
We did a lot of good stuff.
Speeding on 83.
Right,
okay.
Right. We talked about, you know, my district, Lake Montebello.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, hold on. Our house is in your district. You got Remington,
yes.
too?
Yes.
Well, I eat there.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm very proud to represent, you know, all my great neighborhoods.
Yes.
I drink
our
there,
house.
Too.
Oh. There
our
you
house.
Go. So do I. So
it's a good place.
my wife has medical across the street.
Yes.
So she's like, hey, I'm going down to the city. Yeah. Yeah, I love the city. Yeah, I'll go down.
Right.
I'll have a beer and wait for you. We'll get a Michi's and get a meatball.
Oh, I love it.
All right. Felicia Porter's here. Odette Ramos, councilwomen. I will show deference in the next segment. I'll try to as we make our way through a crab cake. It's my birthday. It's my
yes,
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Another Maryland Lottery ticket out for Councilwoman Porter as well. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be at Gunpowder Lodge next Friday on
Ooh.
The 21st. Brooke Learman will join us.
Nice.
I'm still hanging out here. Tom Cole's be coming by a little later on.
Oh, love Tom.
His BAL gig and
yeah.
his post-gig thing with the governors the other night. And Barry Glass will be here in the 11 o'clock hour.
Nice.
And Damie's going to come by and talk about crabs and her crab picking thing here as well. It's all brought to you by Goodwill and our friends at Goodwill. Job training, but for this month, Halloween costumes, get out there. I'm working on my David Bowie thing. I'm looking for a red wig, so I'm going to have to work
oh,
on that.
Oh, you'll find it
And
there.
Our friends
Don't
at Window
worry.
Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. The fresh air is included right now because it's beautiful outside.
It is beautiful.
It is.
We're
Fendley's.
It's the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Without a crab cake for now, but with some Grateful Dead Baltimore stuff.
Ooh,
Councilwoman Ramos.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't believe
yes.
we even discussed
you.
Albuquerque and the balloons on my birthday.
I know, we did. Absolutely.
We did it all. We did it all
yeah,
in a second.
Yeah.
Back for more, and we're going to have a sit-down with Councilwoman Porter and find out what's going on here. And by the way, it's going to be public health is our next segment.
Yes,
right?
yes. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah, you're an expert.
We
yes.
have specialists here. We call them Wise Conversations. Back for more from Fadley's right after this. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson. In Baltimore, and we never stop talking. The bow tie under me, Baltimore. Stay with us.